keep treating them like fools, using them like tools. But let me tell you, we won't abandon our souls. No, sell it for your dollar bills. Cause more than money, we're seeking for wisdom, trying to improve our freedom. Hey, there is no insanity nursing in our bosom. Still, you wanna treat us like hoodlums. You're lying, you're cheating, you're killing. But we're still standing, shouting, protesting, resisting, fighting.
Welcome, welcome. How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to RBN, final hour. I'm your host, Travis. Hope everybody's having a good night. A couple things I want to share with you tonight and talk about. Thought we had a great show last week, some great call-ins. Appreciate all the call-ins from everybody. Loved hearing from Tom Bett. And, we had some good topics. And, I found out a little more about the insurance thing, and I just wanted to reiterate the point that I think what's going on with the insurance industry is they're able to use a lot more concise and compressed data that they used to have. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, probably on into the 2000s for certain smaller companies, they were probably using like DOS-based computer programs. But now they're incorporating a lot of AI and algorithms and third-party data gatherers that go out and photograph your home. And so anyways, you know, I guess the point of this, and this is what the show tonight is about, is technology. And I think we're kind of dealing with a double-edged sword. I mean, in a way, it's great. It enables us to connect with each other, meet new people, learn new things from people from around the country that we normally wouldn't have met, you know, living a local type lifestyle. But the issue is, you know, it's going to enslave us if we're not careful. And I don't think we're being careful. I mean, we're kind of, you know, a lot of people are distracted by their devices. A lot of people don't use them as a proper tool. I mean, it's okay to do your thing on it, but you know, some people just completely, you know, waste the great resource that we have. So anyways, I think that's kind of where I'm getting at with this whole insurance thing, and it's going to make our lives more and more difficult. You know, I don't think it's going to make our lives any better. Imagine 5 years from now when you cannot get a customer service representative, a live person on the phone. You know, I personally hate going through those automated teleprompts. You know, I try to always get to the operator right away. A lot of times they won't let you do that now in some cases. And so you have to go through their automated system. And it just makes life difficult, in my opinion, especially when the thing doesn't understand you or, you know, you're not getting what you need. And, you know, it's just giving you the basic information that, you know, you already know. So anyways, I'm just seeing this as a bigger problem, and, you know, this extends into a lot of other industries, you know, the medical industry, and it's just a mess. It's just an absolute mess, and I think it's a problem we're going to need to talk about and deal with more and more. So just wanted to reiterate that point from last show. I did have another little interesting issue happen. I guess an email was received a couple days ago that our local school district is canceling the bus service for the high school kids that are within the city limits. And, you know, before you jump my bones that I don't have my kids in a private school or homeschool, you know, I get it. I understand. But, you know, sometimes you're not in a position to do that. Sometimes your kids are already far enough along and they enjoy doing sports and they're competing or whatever, or your significant other doesn't want to, you know, go that route, or you can't afford the private school, or you can't have a stay-at-home mom teacher or dad teacher. So anyways, you know, it's a difficult thing. And in a lot of ways, a lot of you retired folks I'm kind of envious of, because, you know, I have 20 more years of this garbage. And I feel it's just going to get worse and worse for the middle class, for the working class. And with the school district, what they just did is they basically, you know, starting next semester after Christmas break, they're not going to have bus routes for the high school kids. And this, they say, you know, after I called them and talked to them about this, they say it's going to impact only 600 kids. Well, that's 600 more cars on the road. And you know, their big solution was for these kids to take the city bus. Well, these kids go to school pretty early. They're starting at like 7:30. The buses are barely running. They proposing to have them take the city bus to the bus depot, which is about a 15-minute walk away from the bus depot on the south side of the tracks. And they're, mind you, they're doing construction on the bus depot. And in the meantime, they didn't even talk to the county regional bus transportation department. And so their excuse is, you know, the Department of Transportation cracked down on them because I guess they had more than three students per seat. You're only supposed to have two students per seat. You know, I just kind of find this hard to believe. And I guess they're insinuating that they cannot find quality bus drivers, and, you know, nobody wants to work. I don't know what the problem is. Can't get bus drivers. We're going to have to cut back buses. But, you know, again, that's kind of not my issue. Like, what am I paying these, you know, supposed property taxes for? You know what I mean? I don't know. It just kind of irks me that, you know, these out-of-district kids get the buses, but all these city kids are forced to, you know, get a ride from their parents, which, you know, obviously affects the working class more than the well-to-do. But it's a serious problem, and I just think this stuff is just going to keep happening and happening, and it's just going to keep grinding us all down. And so, you know, this, you know, you might not have kids in school, but there'll be similar issues, you know, like my insurance issue I was sharing with you last week, or who knows. You know, these things are just going to keep grinding us down, and we're going to have to do something about this, because it's just going to keep getting worse, and, you know, we have no recourse. So anyway, I just find it, you know, pretty brazen that they cancel it right before Christmas, and, you know, beginning of the new year, figure it out. Oh, and I want to remind you that this last semester before, they did something with the elementary students where instead of starting them at, you know, 8:40 when they normally started, they were now supposed to be dropped off as early as 8:40, and they start at 9. So they changed the elementary school students with, like, I think 2.5 weeks notice, just out of the blue, right before the start of this semester. And so, you know, I don't know. You know, I guess the root of the problem is that none of this government serves us. I mean, that's the root of this problem. This government is out for itself, and that's it. It's not in the best interest of the people at all. And down to the local levels, down to your county commissioners, your school board administrations, I mean, there's infiltrators everywhere. And they've taken over this whole thing, I mean, long ago, obviously. But nothing about government is your friend. In fact, we need to decouple ourselves as much as possible. Keep them out of our business, you know, form private relationships with other people and keep the government out of it. So that's what my big solution. That's my big takeaway after last week's show. And, you know, and I guess, yeah, I should figure out a way to do something else with my kids. But, you know, it's a little difficult when you're just eking by and paying the bills, you know. So anyway, with that said, I've been wanting to talk about this topic for a little while. Got a couple videos lined up. I'm going to play a little audio, and then I want to kind of recap it and tell you about a couple things I think I've learned about these topics. So this first video is Catherine Watts, and she's talking about how pretty much the whole healthcare industry has been militarized, and it's against us. And we can obviously see that with what happened with the clot shot that they rolled out. So, Mike, if you got that Catherine Watts video lined up, whenever you're ready, you can throw that on.
And the basic idea is that public health has been militarized, and the military has been sort of turned into a public health front or Potemkin Village, such that they are using public health language and public health laws to actually carry out a military campaign. And I would not call them DOD vaccines. I would call them DOD weapons. So I call it the kill box because the first sort of lead that I had was Todd Callender's January 30th, 2022 interview on Elizabeth Leavitt's podcast called Truth for Health. And he described it as a kill box. And then I looked that up, and it turned out it's a military term for establishing a geographic space or three-dimensional area for a military attack by air and by surface to kill the people who are in it and then dismantle the kind of framework and move on to the next campaign. And what the DOD and the World Health Organization intend to do and have gotten quite far in doing, but not completely reach their goals, is to set up the entire world as their geographic terrain, their target population as all the people in the world, the duration of their campaign as permanent, and the weapons that they're using are, number one, informational, that's the propaganda piece and the censorship piece, number two, psychological, that's the fear and terrorism piece of telling people they need to be afraid all the time and they need to listen to the government, and then the third piece is the chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons, which are called in their campaign pharmaceuticals, vaccines, but are actually toxins and pathogens. So I started, after I heard that interview, I had already been wondering what was going on, but I started trying to track down some of the things Todd Callender talked about in his interview and figure out what the legal frameworks were and how they were set up and what the financial coercion mechanisms were. My finding, which many other people have found in various from various other angles, was that this project has been going on for centuries. It's basically globalist central bankers and lots of related organizations trying to get complete control of human beings through banking programs and through military programs. And they kicked it into higher gear in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. And then they kicked the public health aspect of it into higher gear starting in the 1930s and 40s. Before the 1960s, they mostly did it through orchestrated armed conflicts and financial depressions and wars, which are very loud and messy and destructive to infrastructure. And it makes it difficult for them to have plausible deniability and legal impunity for what they're doing. So in the mid-60s, they got much better at inducing suicide and homicide by fraudulently labeling poisons as medicines or as vaccines or as prophylactics and telling people that submitting to that poisoning process was their civic duty. And that's, we saw that in COVID with the shorthand for do this or you're going to kill your grandma. And the way that the pharmaceutical method is primarily useful to them is that plausible deniability is much easier and legal impunity is a lot easier. They can achieve the same goal of killing lots of people without their fingerprints being all over it. I looked into the coercion cascades, mostly financial. Not going to go into a lot of detail with that, but it starts at the top with the Bank for International Settlements, and they can use their control of other federal central banks' access to financial systems, and then all the way down through state governments, national governments, local, municipal, school districts, hospitals, everything. If you comply with what they're telling you to do, as far as masking and testing, isolating yourself, taking injections, then you will get the financial access that you need to run your business or to have a job. And if you don't comply, they can cut you off from those services. And so that is one of the main mechanisms through which the whole thing was carried out. And then on the legal side, at my website, I do trace it back farther, but I'm going to start at 1969 just for the sake of starting somewhere. The U.S. Congress passed a law to set up the Chemical and Biological Warfare Program. And in that law, which is 50 U.S.C. Chapter 32, there are very important key terms, including protective, prophylactic, and defensive, which is how they justified doing it. They were using those words because the international community of ordinary, non-insane people were concerned about biological and chemical weapons, and they were working on international treaties to prohibit them. And so they needed to build in loopholes, and the loopholes they built in were, we're not going to do biological and chemical research and weapons development except for protective or prophylactic or defensive purposes. And that's a false characterization, because all biologically active products are intrinsically aggressive and toxic and lethal. And that's where we get disciplines, or that's the thing that disciplines like toxicology, pharmacokinetics, genotoxicity, drug-drug interactions are all related to, that fact that everything that goes into the human body or any living body has some effects which can be toxic. So that was the way they tried to get around that. And then the foundational public health emergencies platform came out in 1983 when Congress passed the Public Health Service Act amendment, and that set up the public health emergencies program under the 1944 law that had originally set up the Public Health Service, which is a branch of the military. And it also, in 1983, Congress and Reagan set up a $30 million slush fund, and that has continued. It's got a different name now than it did then, but it's still being funded as recently as the NDAA and the Consolidated Appropriations Act in December 2022. The other thing they did in the 80s was set up the 1986 National Vaccine Program and National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And that's the one that set up the liability exemption for manufacturers and funneled anyone who was injured by a vaccine into this different compensation program, and that's been used as a model since the COVID started for the countermeasures injury compensation program. So the international piece, the cornerstone, is the World Health Organization, which is not a health organization, it's a military organization because of this merger that I'm talking about. It's sort of the military arm of the one world government that they're trying to set up. And they
you're still there. So we got a commercial break coming up, but we'll probably come back to this and play this a little longer, because I feel what she just said is pretty profound. And if you couldn't think back to the last 4 years and see what they did and see exactly how what she just said fit in, and then think back to what she just said about the 80s, you know, when they, you know, shielded the vaccine manufacturers from liability. I mean, this is obviously premeditated. This is obviously a situation where they've declared war on us, you and me. And this is a serious problem, and it should really, really anger people. Yeah, and I think a lot of people are starting to sense this, but, you know, slowly, I think, hopefully. But, you know, what she said, what I think was pretty heavy. What she was talking about with the compliance, I could attest to that, because I was really hammering our school district with these mask mandates for these kids. They're harmful. They're you know, barbaric to what they did to these kids. Anyways, they didn't care. They didn't care what I had to say. They didn't care that there was 20 other parents saying the same thing. They had no care, because at the end of the day, they were getting federal money for complying with the vaccine mandate. I mean, the COVID rules and regulations they were rolling out. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Praying that the world changes soon. Can get a doobie on a plane, but there's Uzis in our schools. Every dude who touched a boob or a booty getting me too. What you expect from the kids who went to Hooters after school? We're all triggered and defensive. We're all racist and we're sexist. We all grew up watching South Park. How are we offended? Now being fat is beautiful. Name a thing that you can't do. Jumping jacks, run a mile, live past 42. Man, it used to be cool to just flip a bird to the system, and now it's trendy to be triggered and pretend you're a victim. It's my race, it's my weight, it's because I'm a Christian. I hate the internet and anyone who has an opinion, and everybody angry if you say white. Okay, right, fine. Pass me the brush and I'll
little topic data for you. Check him out if you haven't heard that guy. He's pretty funny. He's a character. Anyways, at the end of the day, I guess what Catherine Watts is really pointing out is the powers that should not be are eugenicists. And they want total and absolute control of every living and non-living system on this planet. So, I mean, down to the soil. They'll probably have sensors in the soil to tell them what the soil's doing. I mean, they'll have inventory in all the trees. You name it. And AI will run it all. So I agree with pretty much everything she said, and it's pretty bleak, scary future. Let's listen to a couple more minutes of what she has to say, and this video will be linked in the show description. I'll make sure I get this to Mike when we do the show description tonight. And I highly recommend people check this video out. It's pretty powerful. Share it with your friends. People need to start waking up. We need to see the danger and see it for what it is, be able to properly name it, and figure out ways to decouple ourselves from it. So, Mike, can you play a couple more minutes for me?
The international piece, the cornerstone, is the World Health Organization, which is not a health organization. It's a military organization because of this merger that I'm talking about. It's sort of the military arm of the one world government that they're trying to set up. And they did a set of amendments to the international health regulations in 2005 that entered into force in June 2007. But basically, the IHR, which are currently going through another round of amendments to make them worse, called on national governments to strengthen their own domestic laws and fund more programs for surveillance, testing, detention and quarantine, physical control, and forced treatment during international outbreaks of communicable diseases. And the pretext that they used, because it was bankers who were doing this, was that they needed to protect international trade from disruptions caused by disease outbreaks. But the real intent was to set up these legal systems that transfer sovereign government from the nation state to the World Health Organization and the BIS automatically when a public health emergency of international concern has been declared, and Congress and U.S. presidents and the cabinet complied with that demand from the World Health Organization. So two of the key years were 1997 and 98. That was when the beginnings of the Emergency Use Authorization Program was set up and when they transferred the CBRN weapons stockpile from DOD classification, I guess, to HHS or CDC classification and control. It was the same products, as far as I can tell. It was just a relabeling and a rehoming of them. And the EUA, that was kind of a two-step thing. At the time, the public was really upset about the use of unapproved vaccines for anthrax on military troops and the horrible adverse effects they were having. So Congress passed a law in November to kind of revoke authorization for testing or using unapproved products on military troops. But 3 days later, in a different law, made it so that the same programs could be done, but the target population would be expanded from just military troops to the entire American population. Then, around 2000 to 2002, using the momentum from 9/11 and the anthrax attacks on Congress, they set up, through the statutes again, program management sort of structures. They did that through the 2000 Public Health Threats and Emergencies Act, through the 2001 Authorization for Use of Military Force. And people talked about this at the time. It was construed as putting the country into a permanent state of war, the global war on terror, with every other country in the world. So there was no geographic limitation. There was no time limitation. There was no identified enemy other than terror. And through that, I think other people figured this out at the time, and then it sort of got suppressed. But it made everyone in the world into a presumptive combatant or enemy target. So it was essentially a de facto covert global martial law act by the U.S. government. And then in those early 2000s, we also got the Patriot Act, the Public Health Security and Bioterrorism Preparedness and Response Act, and the Homeland Security Act. And those were just more of the merging of the DHS, the DOJ, the HHS, the Department of Defense, all of the cabinet agencies. So since then, 2003 to 2009, there have been lots and lots of executive orders on these things, lots more statutes and appropriations, lots of agency regulations, guidance reports that were circulated to state, local, and tribal authorities and law enforcement so that they would know that under a public health emergency, they are subordinated to the federal military. FDA issued a lot of guidance for industry documents and sent those out to the pharmaceuticals and to the academic organizations and NGOs to let them know about how FDA was going to handle experimental products like vaccines, gene therapies.
We can do our break. Let's do our break. This is Talking Heads.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Yeah, after listening to about 15 minutes of Catherine Watts there, I don't know how anybody could not argue that we pretty much have been declared the enemy by our own government. And, you know, yet millions of people, billions probably, just, you know, give them carte blanche, you know, to make decisions for their lives and, you know, tell us how to live and what to do and what to think, basically. And, you know, I think everybody here is not into that, so that's why we're here. But point is, like, this is some serious stuff, and here we are, you know. We keep, you know, plugging away, and I kind of expecting the shoe to drop any moment, but I don't know. Still hasn't. I want to talk about another little aspect of kind of building on what Catherine Watts was laying down for us. The next lady is Sabrina Wallace. And I know Wallace is, you know, a certain surname that, you know, we're all skeptical of. But I feel her information lines up with a lot of what's happening today. And I've kind of spot checked some of her information, her links, And I've watched, I don't know, almost 24 videos of hers. And, you know, she can be a little rough around the edges. She addresses some of her haters. I think she's got a lot of trolls, probably Hasbara trolls, you know, just, you know, nagging her. So she addresses them a lot. But if you could listen through that and listen to the information she's dropping and look at the links in her videos and just honestly learn the key words that she's using and use those as search words, which I've done. And I found a lot of her stuff to be pretty accurate, and it's downright scary. So, Mike, if you want to play that part of that Sabrina Wallace video.
And you're focused on what? Routing radio frequency through the human body. Through the human body. Through the human body since 1995. So you have to understand initially that for me, after being targeted with electronic torture and not knowing about the electronic warfare side at all until 2019, going down to the post office, and they said, you're in the new 6G. And I happened to hold a job a long time ago. And this time I'm going to show you why this is such an issue for certain people, because they're like, don't fuck with her because she does know. Yeah, High Speed Access Corporation, before it was sold to Charter Communications, the network operations center with three layers of security going underground, was in Louisville, Kentucky. The second Cisco certified network professional was who got off the plane with Woz and the rest of them. And when I was 19 years old, and I walked over at In the Knock to say hello to this gentleman who ran our network operations center. And then I went back up to Wisconsin as a field operations technician. I was one of two people to change the state of Wisconsin from dial up to broadband, the state. So Madison, which was DOCSIS because it's a big city, Milwaukee and Green Bay, Time Warner, DOCSIS, throwaway modems, whatever. But for the smaller towns, I was positioned in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Rice Lake was another plant that I was responsible for. Those people in smaller communities had to be changed over with the cable plant of the copper and the fiber and all the utilities for water and everything else. And all of that is plant architecture that radio frequency people, linemen, plant engineers know all about. Okay. Now, do you know about NMAPS? Do you know about the PRISM system with the National Security Agency? Do you know about all the secret data links we use with AT&T and our Stingray and Dirtbox for local police? Computer networking, radio frequency. My job was to tell the cable guys who were doing the fittings and whatnot out on the pole or in the home what to do, because I was in control of the cable modem in the head end, on the back end. Okay? So, that's all back in 2001. At the same time, I was teaching people meditation, healing touch, and the biofield. Okay? On my off time, while working at Charter, teaching people, this is a body part. Body part. And then I get up here in front of people and I go, show me your biofield. And they go, ah, that's impossible. And I said, no, it's a body part. Sorry, I'm trying to fix my lighting here so you can see it. And then I stand up and I'm like, make your hair stand on end. It's called piloerection. It's the sympathetic nervous system. Apologies for calling it parasympathetic. That's different. That's digestion. Well, come on. Let's see it. Let me move my arms around. Nothing happens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, one. Roll your shoulders forward if you've been sitting. Two.
This wasn't the best video.
And if I put some effort into it, shield. That's your biofield. Which is why those of you that still don't get it. How's your phone work? Your cell phone, tell me how it works. This was the other bitchiness that I got from people over and over again. They're like, well, all you're doing is saying, how does your phone work? No, I'm trying to draw your attention to literal tech metrics. Well, I don't know where my phone went. So that you understand how easy it is to log into you and make a change. So, how did we get to this point where all these good people in radio frequency, etc., that they don't know shit about what we're actually doing in the human body? And in order to explain all of this, I've had to make a gazillion signs. I've had to come back out here over and over again. And I've been trying to figure out why it is, there's my phone, that nobody else seems to know these things. Okay, this is my great uncle's folder from Shepherd Air Force Base. I often also show his Aberdeen Proving Ground stuff. That's my little pink book, wherever it's hiding at the moment. And then I also go over his old notes with flux density notation with mercury and whatnot. Why? So that people understand that this has been going on for a really long time. So tell me how your phone works. When you click a button and you send an email, you don't see the email leave the phone. It's a wireless, invisible signal, just like your body. It's a body part. So when I worked at UW-Whitewater for my job, I found IBM software that they alleged was also used way back when Fauci and them wanted to get their shit off the ground for attacking the human immune system. Well, if you don't know that the human immune system is 80% your biofield, you called it the aura, you called it stupid. Yeah, I know. That's because 6,000 years of human telemetry, chiropractic, and the rest of it for your circulatory system just magically disappeared. Nobody has any idea what's going on. That was 6,000 years of the human circulatory system. You call it chakras. Yeah, they call it aim and fire. 150 years ago, Aleister Crowley and people, yeah, nothing's real except what you can see. There is no biofield. There's no cymatics. There's no radionics. There's no plasmonics. There's nothing except what you can see. Well, that's a body part that's responsible for 80% of our immune system. How do we know for sure? The definition at Children's Hospital, the organs and tissues that comprise the immune system, the thymus, the bone marrow, the lymphatic, your vessels, your spleen, and your skin. And so I'm like, yeah, the human biofield being watched by Project Salus. So the human biofield is the aura, is your W-band, 802.15.6. Department of Defense Directive 3000.09, everything is autonomous. And you have an MQ-9 Reaper drone attached to your skin and bone. That's a big bird for those of you that know. She's huge. And so for me, I'm like, why in the hell do we need something that big? Well, for those of you in radio frequency yet again that don't understand that we're playing around with the particulate in the atmosphere and perturbating the human biofield with the Doppler, okay? And we're not talking about any of that. We're not talking about geoengineering and weather control, and all these systems work together. When I log into your body, I'm looking at multiple manifolds, torus manifolds, and then I'm using mathematics to log into your cell structure with something called biophysics. Optoarray, electronic, photonic, moving your cells around with pressure, temperature, and physics, physical, biophysics change. Not, oh gee, I'm waving my magic wand. No, I'm logging into your body with radio frequency directly. This is how AI precision healthcare is offered. And I'm going to show you the bigger sign here in a minute. Step one. Since 2005, any little nerd who could code in Zigbee and Bluetooth for light switches since 2005 is working with these biosensors, K-hop nearest neighbor routing, dynamic channel allocation, thermodynamic routing, right there. You can go look it up. Open shortest path first, body to body. How did I find it? Cybersecurity for the new digital ID in the 6G low personal area network. Machine to machine, no human can crack it or de-encrypt it or encrypt it. And it's all right, ad hoc. Mike,
pause it real quick. So, yeah, she's saying some pretty deep stuff. I know it got a little woo-woo for a second, but let me back it up real quick. She's claiming that they've basically been lying. We all know they've been lying, right? So about everything. And she's claiming that the biofield is an actual body part, like your essence, your organs, and everything has what some people have called an aurora or aurora biofield, and it's outside of your body, and it's actually a body part. That's what she's claiming. Okay, whatever. Run with me there for a second. But she's also claiming, basically in some of her other videos, that pretty much everyone in this country, at least, has been chipped with an RFDI chip since the 50s and 60s. And since the 60s, they've been able to develop this wide body area network. They are able to run signals through people's bodies and implant biosensors into people or their biofield somehow, again, with technology we might not be aware of or some other crazy stuff. But I've spot checked some of her info, and they do have literature about biosensors written as early as 1987. So I found that pretty interesting. And, you know, maybe a lot of us didn't know the search terms to use, the terminology. And so she's claiming that a lot of radio frequency specialists, IT specialists, and engineers are in on this. And they know, and they're working on these things quietly. And they actually, you know, distribute this to certain key players. So they're able to do this targeting, you know, targeted individual, torturing of people, just messing with people to the point where, you know, you could kill people with this thing, this technology. They're able to hack into our bodies. And basically our bodies are communicating to outside receivers to pick up our data. And so what she's saying is pretty wild. And I'm not 100% convinced that it's 100% true, but I find it really interesting that, you know, of course we have people like Catherine Watts talking about all the legal setup. They've been doing this for, you know, probably hundreds of years, and how it's slowly progressed, and they've been very methodical in the way they've, you know, rolled out things like the Patriot Act, and then, you know, again, they give it all to Homeland Security and blah, 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 you know, like, I just find it really interesting that there's the possibility that every one of us is a hackable human, and even, what's his name, Yuval Harari, whatever, you know, Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, he was talking about hackable humans. And, you know, you got to wonder if that's where all the missing black budget money went. I mean, in addition to some other stuff I'm sure we could talk about, but I say a good portion of this went to hacking the humans, being able to read people's thoughts, tap into their dreams, completely manipulate their dreams. You name it. I mean, voice to skulls, 1950s and 60s, that's old school. I mean, we're talking like this is the cutting edge stuff, and I wouldn't doubt if it exists. I mean, I've got one phone that has Google stuff, and it pulls up all these like physics articles about nanotechnology because it's seen that I like to read about it sometimes. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the evidence that the quote unquote vaccine has nanotechnology. So I've searched some of these terms. So, of course, it shows me these articles, right? Well, it's talking about advanced, you know, biosensors or, you know, graphene, blah, 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 communication platforms or whatever. So, I mean, if I'm seeing this stuff, you know, on the interwebs, and then you could find, you know, things like a book written in 87 about biosensors, you know, again, this stuff's probably exists. So it's pretty out there, pretty wild. But I wanted to introduce people to this because, you know, we should be aware. And to me, she sounds like a pissed off mom. Like, she sounds like she figured it out in her mind, and she's pretty pissed. And what she claims as her family is pretty substantial. In some of her videos, she claims like something like 15 plus of her family members are high level DOD, three-letter agency employees. So her family has a long history of being involved in some stuff. And anyways, maybe she's legit, maybe she's not. Not sure. Just wanted to throw that out there. Let you guys check it out. Again, I'll link this video in the description. You can find her out there under the name of Psi Energy, PSIENERGY, or something like that. You'll find her, Sabrina Wallace. But I encourage you to check out some of her videos and see what you think. And I have sent it to a couple friends that I know are into IT. I'm on the outskirts, more of the hardware aspects of the IT world. But I wanted to see what they thought, and one of them did get back with me, and he thought she was very credible in a sense that they do have wide body area networks, and they talk about it. And so, you know, again, my other friend didn't really get back to me on it, so I don't know if he put the time into it, or maybe he knows something. Maybe he's one of those guys. Anyways, I don't find it out of the realm of possibility. Like, we know that they have a lot of paid actors. They own the banking system. They own the money. They print the money. It's not hard for them to pay off people, you know, hundreds of thousands, or, you know, here's a house, here's you know, your $1 million contract. You know, it's not hard for them to do that. So they have a lot of paid operatives. I would estimate in the tens of millions in this country alone. Got to wonder how some people are making ends meet these days. Back to that insurance thing, I found out from one of these agents that a guy's trying to insure a $100,000 truck, and his insurance payments are $450 a month for his brand new pick-em-up truck. It's a pretty substantial payment there for insurance. But anyway, yeah, she went into some deep stuff. I know I got a little woo-woo there for a minute with her biofield. But I would encourage you to check it out, because, again, we found out everything else is a lie. I mean, and we know these demons are on a warpath to kill us. I mean, I'm just using these words just to describe them, and, you know, I use a lot of different words, but They're on a warpath, and I would not doubt that they have some sort of fallen angel technology, some sort of technology they found or had been given, handed technology that they are able to use. And again, they're using it to their benefit to A, depopulate, and B, control every system on this planet. So what our kids are up against, looking pretty bleak. And, you know, if we live long enough to see it, we're not going to want to live in this world, especially the older folks my age and above that, you know, are set in their ways. They're comfortable, and they don't want to change. They don't want to own nothing and be happy. You know, they don't want to drive a laptop on wheels, you know, one of these smart cars, electric cars. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told they can't use a wood-burning stove to heat their home, or, you know, the kid's got to take the city bus now. Anyway, you know, I'm opening the calls up. I'm sure we got a break coming up soon, but feel free to call in if anybody wants to call in. let me know your thoughts on these two ladies. I think they have some pretty valid information. I encourage you guys to check them out. They'll be in the show descriptions. Probably the easiest way to find them. Yeah, I thought that was pretty heavy stuff. When I listened to it, I was so intrigued. I probably listened to a dozen to 20 of her videos just to see where she was coming from and, you know, search some of her references she was throwing out there. And it's pretty frightening. All right. We got Ken in Texas. Hello, Ken. Come on, Mr. Travis. Tell us what you're thinking. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Mr. T. Do you recall what she had to say about Bluetooth?
Yeah. Bluetooth low energy. I think that is one of the ways that they're able to network in and out of the body. And another guy I watched that talks about that. He actually built a device to just hear the audible tones that these Bluetooth signals were sending out. And he's basically theorizing that this is in people's bodies and it's sending out these signals.
Go ahead. That was the, you know, one of the things that was going on during COVID was that people were emitting Bluetooth signals, but not the communication signal, but the MAC layer signal. So if you just had a regular Bluetooth device, it wouldn't detect anything. But if you took your smartphone and put it in developer mode so it could read the MAC addresses, then you could detect them.
Yeah, so I have a phone that I did this with, and you can read the addresses, but every Bluetooth device is supposed to be named. Like, you're supposed to be able to look that address up and find out that that's Sony or that's Beats or that's Microsoft or whatever.
Right.
But the weird thing is they come up as unnamed, and they kind of disappear. They appear, then disappear. Like, I've watched it. I've been on a plane and opened it up. I've, you know, done it in public settings or in private settings, and it's pretty bizarre. I don't have any rhyme or reason to it, but...
Well, what got me tuned into it, because before that ever happened, you know, I ran into a lot of problems with contact tracers being an anti-vaxxer.
Hold your thought, Ken. Let's let Mike take a break real quick. Hang tight, and we'll be right back with your thoughts.
Certainly.
All right, thanks.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.